are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast, where we interview successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so excited that you've joined me. I'm your host, certified digital marketing and branding strategist, Shantha Wetterhahn. Today's episode is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find the self-empowerment magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. We are so thankful for all of our wonderful sponsors at Up to Me Radio. Make sure you check the magazine out. Guys, I am so excited about this interview today. I don't know if you had a chance to catch our Facebook Live promo for the show, but I am so impressed by our very special guest. Her name is Mary Rose Solis. Mary Rose is a freelance branding strategist and creative content marketer for women professionals, entrepreneurs, and business owners. She's based in San Diego, California. She earned her Bachelor's of Arts in Communications from the University of San Diego, then went on to build a successful professional career in both corporate and startup tech spaces before deciding to become her own boss. She calls the journey to entrepreneurship her, and you guys can hashtag this, hashtag March Forward. That's the March, the number four word. And she leverages the experience in a signature program called Find Your Wave. The program takes you on a journey inward, first to ensure you know where you came from, who you are today, and what you value most for those that are building blocks to brand with purpose. Mary Rose invites you to connect with her on her social media, March Forward. You can find her at the handle March Forward or on her website, www.marchforward.com. I am so excited to have you today. Welcome, Mary Rose. Welcome to Branding with Purpose.
Thank you so much, Shantha. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. So how are things going for you? I know you've been very busy helping people with their brand. How are things going? How is business going? How is life going for you?
I think, right now I would say it is a very good pace for me. And I think that's part of obviously our conversation today is that I definitely wanted to create a lifestyle that suited me personally, and it means working, my preferred hours, my pace, and also attracting the right folks to work with. So I'm very fortunate for all my clients that I do attract. I'm working with organizations and associations right now, as well as entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And so it's really nice to be kind of diversified too, from more of a formal setting, and then sometimes to be a little bit more free flow on a creative end for some entrepreneurs. So right now it's just been a steady flow, and I love it. I love the fact that I can kind of switch gears, sometimes be strategic and sometimes go all creative. So it's just been a really nice time. And with the summer coming, I'm looking forward to more, attracting more folks that are ready to kind of change things up with their brand or just improve their content strategies.
Absolutely. Now, how long have you been an entrepreneur?
Gosh, it's now been, and I've called it, like you mentioned, my March Forward journey. It's been about almost over 5 years now. I switched off from my last startup tech role and then decided to take a year off. And then I moved into working for myself, and it's been now a good 5 years.
Wow, that's incredible. That is that same amount of time that I've been in business, and I know I have grown so much. Especially in terms of my brand, I found it so important to figure out what my brand was, what my voice is, who my message is for, How was that journey for you? When did it all start? When did it come? How did you get here where you are today?
Yeah, that definitely was a transformation in that it started off as a personal journey inward, and then it evolved into the work that I'm doing now. So that's why I find a good comfort in knowing that it's really rooted in who I am. But so when I took that year off of just kind of exploring what it is I wanted to do next, I really wanted to find a less stressful, high competitive environment, because that's kind of where the world I came from, very overworked, burnt out, you know, long hours. And so, you know, I took a year off to just settle down and kind of underachieve, they say, for a while, just so that I can kind of break out of that bad habit of overworking myself. And then I started to explore, you know, when it got to the point where, okay, what do I want to do? What's my passion? And, you know, all those different questions. And one of the things I learned was I have multi-passions, and I'm very much a Jane of all trades, not necessarily a master of one. And so I had to really embrace that and be okay with that. And I think that's one thing I know from many of my clients that they look for one specific area to focus on, but sometimes we are a little bit more diversified in our interests, our skills, and our talents, and it's okay. It's just about putting it all together. So I took a moment and assessed my strengths first. I really do believe, you know, that if we focus on our strengths, things that I did kind of what is similar to in a corporate environment, if you're very familiar, there's a 360 feedback survey or review that human resource used to do, where they would survey all those around you within your work context, whether it's not just your superiors, but also your colleagues, your vendors, your partners and such, that anybody that you interact with. So I did kind of that similar concept on myself of thinking about what everybody, you know, generally says about me, right? I reviewed all my past performance reviews. I reviewed my LinkedIn recommendations. I looked back and reflected on what the constant themes were about what my strengths were. And for an example, to start, it was saying people love you. You're very social. You know, people are attracted to your energy. And so I kind of thought through that and said, okay, so where can I place that strength, right? Where is that? And at the time, I was just meddling in Facebook. It was just kind of my new thing at the time and personally. And then before I knew it, someone just suggested, you know, have you ever thought of social media? And it's kind of like my digital career started at that point, where I all of a sudden explored this whole other world that was new to me, social media, and then ultimately small business, and then social enterprise. I mean, it was just opened up so many avenues, and I just loved it, because as a techie at heart, I was able to pick up the technology quickly, but it also helped me be myself, because I loved engaging with others, building relationships, identifying ways to influence and also support and help others. So it was just this grand event of just really taking a look at what I'm already being told that I was good at and that I believed as well, confident in. And then I took that and kind of started that as like my journey, right, to finding out, okay, now let me just open myself up and apply those strengths and talents in whatever field that comes my way. And that's kind of how it started for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved everything you said there, but primarily the inner work that you did to identify your strengths and apply them. It's so important. And I think it's really interesting that that's something you did first, and then you decided to work with female entrepreneurs, because I know as a female, it's hard a lot of times for us, number one, maybe to take a compliment. Number two, to actually sing our own praises and really look at ourselves and say, hey, I am really good at this, and I'm going to take ownership of that, and I'm going to market this skill that I have. I'm actually going to get people to pay me for this talent or skill that I'm great at. And all those things are really hard for women to do. Do you find that to be the case, and is that something that's impacted your decision to work with women?
Yes, I think I've always had this inherent passion and advocacy for women, from gender equality to, I realizing and embracing and recognizing our worth and value. not just in our personally, but also professionally. So it kind of just naturally led me to women. And that is definitely one of the most common themes. There's generally two things that I look at. Is it the ego or the fear that's holding us back? And what I found, fear is definitely the leading cause for folks to hold back, right, in sharing or spotlighting who they are, what they are capable of, even their own journeys, their successes, their accolades. I mean, I've worked with some clients that, you know, I've gotten to know them, and then at some point I realized, you know, after having some questionnaires and then sending me all the information they have about themselves, I just seem to happen to come across that they have certifications or certain amount of years of expertise, and they didn't put that in, you know, the questionnaire, or they didn't spring that up in my interview. And I find that funny. I said, well, you know, why didn't you mention that? They said, oh, you know, I just never thought of that as something, I don't know, something to worth mentioning. And I said, really? I said, that's an achievement. That's an accolade. That is something that you worked hard for. And I think that's important to share with others. And it not only builds your own credibility, but also just reminds you what you're good at, right? Just reminds you the efforts that you put in. And I think it's just always interesting to see similar situations like that where they don't feel comfortable. They don't ever even thought to consider, right, even sharing something like that. And I think you're right. That I think it's part of our programming of, you know, staying behind the scenes, keeping things, low. What do you call that? Like be background person rather than in the spotlight. I think that's kind of where it stems from, is my thought with that. But I really do. It makes me sad to see that these amazing, incredible, brilliant women oftentimes don't have that confidence in themselves to showcase their own brilliance. But at the same time, I understand it, because I also had that personal challenge of finding my own worth and being at peace with who I am. And so I can respect it. I understand it. I'm compassionate. And I think that's why I bring that into now my branding process of helping women understand it's also a healing journey, and also a journey of self-acceptance. And so the branding, like your show says, branding with purpose, it really is more than just branding. It just really becomes a personal journey, similar to what I experienced, and then I bring that into my clients.
Awesome. So how can we move past that fear of showcasing our own brilliance? What are some things, you know, I know you talk a lot about the inner work, you know, what are some things that we can do in order to at least start looking at ourselves fully and as actualized as we are, and start actually, you know, showcasing that and marketing that and helping other people see their own light inside of them?
Yes. I think for my clients, when I begin the process with them, they really identify. I try to help them understand that this is where my left brain starts to kick in, where, you know, I was a business intelligence analyst. I was very data-driven and process-oriented. And so what I do is take that personalization, that personal interviewing and important step, and really kind of put a more objective look at it. I try to help them see it as more homework assignments and not get too emotionally drawn into it. So, for example, when I ask them to do this one exercise about defining moments, I think that's where it always begins. If you want to start to figure out what your theme is in life, whether it's finding a passion or a common theme that represents, you know, throughout your life. And so I have them do this assignment where the defining moments, and I break it down in life stages, childhood, young adult, high school, and then in their adulthood. And I have them tell me some of the most key defining moments in their life. And I tell them good or bad, things that continually stick with them, something that always comes to mind. Because I know for me, I had that. I had common themes. Some of them were bad, whether they were like things that an incident that may have happened when I was a child that remained with me, that obviously programmed me to have a perception of my body image or the way that I think about myself. So I have the clients dig deep, and the advice I give them as they're doing this exercise is to obviously be in a very quiet space. where they can be focused and not distracted, and also get in the mindset of just almost like a journaling process, right, where I don't want them to focus on proper grammar, you know, writing it so that I'm reading it the way they want me to read it. I just want them to write whatever comes to mind. Some of my clients struggle with that because if writing isn't their forte or they don't feel comfortable, you know, putting it down on paper, then I switch it to more interviewing, audio, you know, in person. So we're either on the phone or we're on virtually. But any way where they feel comfortable just to share their life. But I hope my key is, at least my principles, my guiding principles are compassionate listening and gentle discipline. I want them to be able to walk through their life story, but not necessarily hold back from it, right, and see the good and the bad. And once I can get them through that journey, and then I help them look at it differently, like shift their perspective and see the different themes that have occurred in their lives and how they overcame it or triumphed over it or are continuing to live their lives in spite of it, that's then where the process of healing and acceptance, which then helps us build a foundation of who they are, what they've been through, and then we carry that on to the next branding process or that step. But it's that looking back at your story, I would say, is the first major step, and really breaking it down in stages and just journaling it all out, all those defining moments that just have remained with you and you never understood why, but it's a memory that continues to stick with you, and then just writing it all down or sharing it with someone, you know, from a personal interview. And I think if you do that, you'll start to see common themes and patterns that you never realized yourself. Like, you may use the same word over and over. You may notice that you put yourself in similar situations, or you might find that you are somehow always placed in similar situations and you've overcome them. So it's just kind of that long, in-depth, personal openness and vulnerability process or step that can really determine how we build the brand. And it's not easy, I will be honest. It's a very difficult step. I have a lot of clients that, you know, I have one where I spent almost a week of just phone conversations till I got to the root of the one defining moment that really changed her or created some perceptions of herself. And then I've had some that, you know, hold back very hard to get it out of them. And so then I have to have that kind of strong talk or truth talk and say, you know, trust me, there's no judgment. And I think that's part of it too, just to add, is that I really come into it with no judgment. And I think that helps them open up. And over time, I help them realize that there is no judgment here. I look at it objectively, but yet at the same time with compassion and understanding, so that you feel you're being heard. And at the same time, I'm going to help you see that, you know, you're exactly where you need to be. Your journey was not in vain, and we're going to see it. We're just going to shift the perspective a little bit. And that definitely is the most difficult.
Yeah, I can see it it's probably like ripping a Band-Aid off, because a lot of times we have these experiences we push aside to the recesses of our mind, or we sweep under the carpet, and a lot of these experiences are controlling our behaviors. Maybe we're gotten into a negative thinking pattern, or for me, I realized I was self-sabotaging through procrastination, and it wasn't until I was able to identify that I overcame procrastination, but it was just a fear of failure, so I self-sabotaged based on that fear, and I procrastinated, which made me a failure in some areas.
Yes, so, like it manifests itself. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I think most of my Some of my clients as well have mentioned that they'll know that they have a certain, you know, weakness or an opportunity to improve, and yet they're not quite sure where it stems from. And I think that's where that defining moments and that personal story part of my process is really getting to the root of kind of what I call like the original wound, in a sense, the one thing that kind of sets everything, you know, a certain path. And whether the way you think of yourself, the way, like you said, the way you start to procrastinate, the way that you start to hold back or start to fear failure, and really identifying where that possibly could have started from. Because I think, at least for myself personally, is like identifying where those original wounds were and then kind of processing them, you know, letting the emotions go through and kind of like grieving through that process, but then later coming to a place of acceptance and understanding, okay, it happened. Okay, it wasn't good. Okay, this is how I felt. But now, and this is kind of where the march forward comes in, where I'll say, from this march forward on, though, now, I'm going to take accountability for my life and my choices and my mindset and where I feel I'm going to go and what direction. That happened, but now it's not going to define the rest of my life. And that's what I really hope for when I work with my clients that are really struggling to get past a certain point or feeling stuck or feeling they're in this kind of some state of insanity, is that where they look all that back, see it for what it is, you know, good, bad, the ugly, right? But then ultimately accept it for ingratitude and understanding that it had to happen to create the person that they are today. And then finally saying, I'm going to march forward on now and take, you know, full accountability of now, any thought, any decision, any choice. There is no blame. It is now all up to me where I go from here.
Very powerful. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. So let's talk about the fun stuff. You know, people always, you know, when you mention the word branding, I'm sure the first thing people think about or mention to you when they want to work with you is their logo and their website, business cards, colors, headshots. You know, I know there's a place for that stuff, but I also think that what you do is so important because you're helping people identify their voice before they even create all that stuff.
Yes. It's kind of like that before you brand. There was a point where I would start telling them, I said, you know, before you brand, let's look to the root of everything, right? Let's understand, you know, you hear it all the time. What's your why, right? What's your story? What's your motivation? And for me, I just go a little bit more deeper. And sometimes my clients may not understand the process at the moment, but then they see how then I translate all that I learn from them. So ultimately that personal interviewing or that intensive homework assignments that I give on the personal front then results into what I call a personal brand statement. And that becomes kind of like their almost their own personal manifesto, right? Of this is where I came from. This is what I did to, you know, through that process, through that. And then this is where I am today and my hopes for the future. And that kind of one pager helps set the tone of that now march forward on, right? And then from there, we start to explore. So I do exercises, the typical branding probably exercises of, you know, I want them to tell, you know, share with me some of the colors and images that they, that makes them feel good in their life, right? That they find that they feel their best, confident, feel successful. So they'll share images of themselves, like photographs or, you know, then I tell them to go look at online, maybe like living room aesthetics or palettes, even their own homes. And it's interesting because I'll have them do it. And then a lot of times what I'll do is my exercise, I'll go onto their social media and their Facebook pages and look at exactly what they have been posting of themselves, like photos. And a lot of times it will never fail that it'll be in contrary to what they share with me. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I may say, share the things that make you feel confident, inspired, beautiful, successful, and then there's these, you know, those gorgeous colors, and then I'll go onto their Facebook and I'll notice they never wear those colors, right? And so it's another step of kind of that introspective look at saying, if these colors make you feel good, why aren't you incorporating more of it into your life, right? Or why aren't you wearing it? You know, really ask yourself, you know, it's, well, my wardrobe and this and that. I go, yeah, I don't know why. It's so funny, but I do feel good. Or why isn't your home, you know, with those colors? Like they're either going to be monotone and because a lot of folks are playing it safe, right? Or a lot of folks are protecting or guarding themselves and oftentimes wear colors that do that. So we've gone through this whole color analysis. It helps me kind of lead in. And then the personal brand statement from a words perspective helps me start to think about the core messaging. So in my Find Your Wave, it breaks down to words, artistry, voice, and energy. And so the words is is the core messaging. I try to help them identify what is their unique value proposition, you know, what are their values, that the core values that they want to take in from their personal brand into their business brand. And so we go through different exercises for that. And then, you know, then we explore the colors, right? We do color analysis. And so that all that helps me start to get a vision for them. You know, we look at market research as well. We do all that homework assignment of what's the current industry, what's happening, what's the gap, what are we seeing out there today? And then all that, from all the personal steps to the market research to the analysis on color or exploration, I then kind of pull it all together. And the only way that I can explain it to my clients is like I get this divine download or this, you know, inspiration that all of a sudden I just see their brand. And I think it's the product of them opening themselves up to me. So the more that they open themselves up to me and trust me about their lives, about what fears and their hopes and everything, I can see and vision this brand for them. And then it just comes out of me effortlessly, right? I could start to see, we could start with this logo. And I like to focus too on starters. Like I don't want them to get too caught up on this is the final end. So they get so stuck on perfection. I always have to try to remind them that brands evolve over time. The most important thing is to come out with a core message and a core personal brand statement. And then we kind of work with the color palettes. I don't think they normally change. They may change in hues, but they don't necessarily change in their colors if that's the core of who you are and what you want for yourself. I tell them that, you know, just think of it as a starter brand and then know that it'll evolve as we get to know more about the kind of clients you want to work with, the things that are working, that are things that are not working. And so that helps them not get stuck in perfection, I think, when we start to do that process. But it's definitely, it's hard to explain. I always tell those as a creative, it's just like you ask an artist, like, well, how did you get that? And it's just this, it's like, I always thought it was like, there's like a method to the madness, right? The creative madness process. But it's all those steps being done in kind of an order and that openness and that trust and the vulnerability that then just produces a brand that is truly their own. Everything that I do, I build consensus because I believe that they won't take ownership of the brand if they don't feel they were a part of the process. And so I'm very diligent and also very conscientious of like helping them understand what I'm doing. And whether they want to know it or not, I think it's just a good thing for them to be accountable and learning how the process is so that then they take accountability for what we end up creating, right? And that they believe in, this is mine. I did this. Not necessarily me. I think I just guided them and maybe added the creative side, but ultimately it was born of their own effort, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I love what you said about the colors, how, you know, you'll do a color analysis and talk to them about what colors make them feel good, which is so important. And then you'll check out their Facebook page and they're not wearing that color or they don't have that color as a theme mm-hmm. in their life. And once you've identified that, that leads to authenticity because if we aren't doing things, if we're not wearing the clothes or we're not exuding something creative in our life that makes us feel good, that's part of us, then it's not authentic. We're not going to feel great. We're not going to be living our whole selves. So that is a really, really important process. Authenticity in all of this is key.
Yes, and I think you and I spoke about this whether on our live or maybe in our pre-interview, but it's that alignment of the person I always felt I was inside or envisioned, right? And then it's matches now the person that is being shown to the world, right? In addition, my thoughts, my words, and my actions now all align. That to me is authenticity. It always has been, and it's not easy to get there. Trust me, I understand ego and fear play an important part. That's why it's a mindful practice. It's a mindful journey that we have to go through and be self-conscious of, or not even self-conscious, more so mindful of how we act, how we think, and what we do. Is it all in alignment to what we say we want for ourselves, right? Is it all in alignment to the person that we say our values are? So, for example, one of my core values is love and integrity. And I always tell myself, so if I'm going to do something, am I really posting this comment out of love, right? Am I really doing this for the client or arguing this battle with the client out of love? Or am I doing this out of integrity? Or is this person I'm choosing to work with aligned with my values? So it's all about this aligning everything so that it's consistent, it doesn't contradict, right? Because I think that's where the struggle happens personally when we are in a misalignment, right? When we are saying one thing and we're doing another, when we're feeling one way and putting out another, right, energy. And I just remember living that life for so long, especially in my professional days where I was one person at work, someone different at home. I was put on a happy face for the client, you know, not feeling so good at home. And so that was exhausting. You know, it was exhausting.
Well, I love about being an entrepreneur is that in corporate America, I felt like it was a survival skill. Actually, it was a survival skill not to be my whole self. And then as an entrepreneur, it would be a detriment not to be myself and be authentic because I wouldn't be attracting the right people to work with.
Yes, yes. And I think I was fortunate that one of the companies I worked for started that conversation culturally at the corporate level of, you know, the CEO himself would say, I don't want you to be any different than you are at home as you are here in the office. And that's kind of where it got me to think. Now, I felt like I was always myself, but I wasn't my full self, like you just said, where I didn't open up completely. I kind of kept a reserve. And I think people don't realize that that's actually a part of also not being authentic, right? Where I'm holding back or I'm keeping some things private. I want to be a place where I can be freely myself. Like I held on to who I was and, you know, never compromised my values or my integrity. But at the same time, I also didn't get let people in, right? I let them tell me all about themselves or I experienced all of them, but they never really fully experienced me. And that's one of my biggest lessons in my March Forward journey is how do I go from a private person and then letting people in and being more vulnerable? And it hasn't been easy, but I find that that is also a huge step that I had to do in identifying what kind of brand I want for myself, right? What personal brand am I going to create for myself, but also, you know, be authentic and genuine and letting people in and letting people get to know my story, letting people get to know, you know, my bad days, my good days, right? And just being real. And so now to be in this place where I can just wake up without any fears, any, you know, I don't know, anticipations, like, you know, anxiety. It's just a wonderful thing just to wake up as myself at, you know, whenever I want, think and feel. And, you know, and as long as it's coming from the places of value that I say, I never feel that I'm doing it myself an injustice or I'm hurting others. You know, it's just a great place to be. And I think that to me, ultimately, I hope to help folks when building that personal brand, because it's not just something that's done for professional. I really think the personal brands today are, what is your personal, you know, for you personally, like friendships, right? Family, you know, what kind of brand do you put out there and is it true, right? And are you living up to it? And I think that, yeah, so it's not just for something to be used at work. It's just my, you know, my thought
Absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely. Well, Mary Rose, this was absolutely wonderful. I feel like we could have a part two. So much good information here. And I just feel like we just scratched the surface today. I really appreciate you being here with us. We are so thankful. Before we let you go, I want to find out if you have three nuggets, three quick takeaways that you can share with the listeners.
Absolutely. So when defining your personal brand, be ready to get personal. One, you know, opening yourself up, being vulnerable, really taking a hard look at yourself as well as your story. Number two is really defining your value set and your motivations and drivers. Really taking a look at what is you believe are your top priority values currently. And then what are your strongest motivators? Because then that then dictates what kind of content, what kind of brand you want to present out there. And then finally is always remember that progress is perfection, that as long as you're doing something every day to get you to the place where you want to be, then that's perfect. It's a perfect thing, and know that that's the same with a brand. Working with somebody, identifying where if you don't have a strength in somebody, outsourcing and then saying, okay, look, I'm going to work on this one thing at a time, and I'll ultimately get there. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, that whole theory. But progress is perfection. You know, be gentle with yourself, but at the same time, be gently, like, disciplined as well. And you'll get there. And it's really all up, it really is about getting personal with business and your brand.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, where can our listeners find you online, Mary Rose?
These days, I'm always on social media. Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn are my priorities right now, especially LinkedIn. So come find me on LinkedIn, Mary Rose Solis. You can follow me there. And then my website, which is still under renovation, but it is www.marchforward.com. You can do that as well. And in any of those platforms, do not hesitate to message me. I'm always open to conversations and connecting with others.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time and all
thank
this
you.
wonderful nuggets you share with us. And I'm just confident that our listeners will be able to take all of this information and grow their brand, find their voice, and showcase mm-hmm. their brilliance.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it from the live to this. And definitely, if a part two is necessary, I look forward to it as well. Thanks so much, Martha.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you. Now to our listeners, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Did you enjoy this interview with Mary Rose Solis? It was absolutely phenomenal. Are you branding? Are you showcasing your brand? Do you have trouble finding your voice? I want to hear from you. Let me know what you think about this interview and others like it. You can email me feedback@brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. You can also send questions about branding, social media, online marketing to that email address, brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. I love answering listeners' questions. I get a lot of questions about LinkedIn, and that's exactly what I'm going to be discussing today on our Ask Shanta segments. LinkedIn is definitely something to not frown upon, to not leave on the table. It's the 12th most visited website in the world. It's the number one social media site for networking online for business professionals. I wanted to share a few tips with you. Sometimes we get caught up in just getting ourselves on social media, but what do you do when you get there? I'm going to be telling you some things that you can do today to grow the views on LinkedIn, to grow your network, to grow views on your content there. The first thing I would say is keep your profile basics updated. A lot of people keep their LinkedIn profiles updated. They forget to do that. Whether you're a total newbie, just starting a new job, just starting to explore new opportunities, looking to grow your business, there's no excuse for you to have an outdated profile there on LinkedIn. Your information should be up to date. It should be easy for me to find your email address, your website. You want an up-to-date professional headline. This should be something that you actually change and make sure that you have the keywords for the things you want to be found for. For example, if in my past life I was in sales, I'm not going to continue with that same headline. Today, if you check me out on LinkedIn, I actually have Branding with Purpose podcast host, real estate marketing expert, also an instructor. So those are some things that I've changed my headline to reflect. Go ahead, take a look at your headline on LinkedIn and see where you are with that. Also, your headshot. For the longest time, I had a selfie with a bad haircut on LinkedIn. I was wondering why I could not make those connections there. It wasn't until a professional photographer friend took some pictures of me, I decided to update my profile with a professional picture. My LinkedIn marketing strategy exploded. Also, if you have
If you don't have a picture at all, it's time to get one uploaded. LinkedIn profiles that have a picture are 11 times more likely to be viewed. So if you're still showing like a silhouette, it's time to make a change and reveal yourself. Go ahead. Your LinkedIn photo also shouldn't be like 20 years old. I should be able to, if I meet you on LinkedIn and we decide to have coffee, I should be able to walk into that restaurant or that coffee shop and identify you based on your recent LinkedIn headshot. So your photo is really important. The last thing I would say, something that people miss a lot, is brand your profile with a background photo. Does your LinkedIn profile look boring and average? Does it have that blue banner background that LinkedIn provides you? Give your profile page a bit more personality or branding with a visually appealing background image. I had a photo of the beautiful Atlanta skyline for years as my background photo, and people really love that. Today, I design a background photo that has my website address there. So make sure you upload a nice big cover photo for your LinkedIn profile, as well as get that headshot updated. So I hope you enjoyed these LinkedIn tips. I love to give social media marketing advice and resources again. You can email me at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any other questions about LinkedIn or anything regarding social media or digital marketing. And guess what, guys? You can also check us out at the Up to Me Radio Facebook page for show updates. We do show promos there. We are always updating that page. Right now we're having some really cool things on that Facebook page. Check us out there. You can also catch up with our show on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. And you can find out how to reach me directly at www.competitivebrand.com. Thank you so much for listening. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you have decided to spend your time here with me, and I truly appreciate you for that.